So we're here in Judges chapter 6 and verse 17. Again, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him, it says in verse 12, and, you know, is calling him to be a judge. He doesn't know that that's what it's going to be, but he's calling him to serve him. God is calling Gideon to serve him. All right. Verse 16 says, the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So he promises him the victory. And now verse 17, he said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Father, we come before you, Lord, asking you to help us. Lord, help us to learn from Gideon's encounter with you as he met with you, as you called him, Lord, how he responded, and help us to learn from that and do likewise, Lord God. Please teach us. And I pray that through this we would be more conformed to your image, God, and help us to get beyond our human frailties, our fears, our pride, Lord, the things that hold us back, and to seek to walk in the Spirit, to seek to follow you, God. How important and necessary that is, God, and we need your help. Forgive us for failing you. Forgive us for not being the servants that we should, for just making excuses for not doing it, God, for being selfish and just following after the flesh, God. But help us to really live for you, God, and to seek to be humble servants, Lord, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, God wants you to be an effective servant for him. God doesn't want you to be a failure and not serve him, not do anything for him. That is not what he wants. His desire is that you would be an effective servant. If it was not his desire, then the moment of salvation, you just poof, you just go to heaven and get to be with him. But he wants you to be an effective servant for him. You know, I don't mean this to sound bad, but he kind of wants you to suffer through some things so that you'll come to him, so that you will learn to depend on him. Amen. He wants you to see that. He wants all of us to see that he is all we need. But sometimes we don't do that on our own, and God has to bring circumstances into our life to get us to the point where we will trust him and rely on him, right, and seek to honor him and do things his way. You know, for years, God will let us get away with, decades even, he'll let people get away with not being what they should be, not following him as they should. And then he may bring something into their life to get their attention. And many of you could sit here and you could say, yes, God has done that to me before, and I didn't like it, and it wasn't good. But in the end, I can see that it was good because it brought me closer to God, and I knew that I needed it. But my point is that God wants you to be an effective servant for him. And through us looking at this example of Gideon, it's God saying, hey, you don't have to go through what Gideon is going through in order to be an effective servant for me. Now, I'm not saying this was Gideon's fault, but this is just the time that Gideon lived, and the children of Israel as a whole were pretty rebellious towards God and the things of God, and this is what brought on all these problems that Gideon is faced with. Now, the beginning of chapter 6 says, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. So they've been suffering for 7 years now. All right, because of their idolatry, and we touched on some of that last week. So I'm not saying that all of that is Gideon's fault. This is just where Gideon was, but many times circumstances in life will be used to bring us face-to-face with God, a face-to-face encounter with God, so we'll get serious about it. Now, I think as I look at Gideon, I mean, he grew up knowing about God. I mean, we saw last week, he said, if the Lord be with us, verse 13, why then is all this befallen us, and where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? So where are all these miracles then? How come none of this stuff is going on that we heard about? So he knew the God of heaven. He knew about the God of his fathers. And it says, if we just go a little bit farther, I'm going to kind of jump ahead. Verse 25, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. A grove was a place usually with trees, and it was kind of like, oh, we can go worship nature. They weren't, almost all the time you see them in the Bible, they're associated with evil, but not every single time. Just because there's a growth of trees doesn't mean it's evil and it's all towards paganism. Most of the time in the Bible that you see it, it is, though. Here's an example of it, okay? So it appears, just based on what we see right here, that Gideon's father was the priest of Baal. He had the altar in his house. And this is what Gideon grew up with. He grew up with what today we could call Christianity today. How I see Christianity today, it's so mixed with just heathenism and paganism. It's just a hodgepodge of things. It calls itself Christian, but it's not really, because if you bring out anything against what some other church is doing, you say, that's contrary to the Bible. They're going to say, who are you to say? Stop judging us, and things of that nature. This is how Gideon was growing up. And it's because of things like this why they are even being oppressed by the Midianites. So this is where Gideon's at. He's brought up within this paganism. I mean, this has been a part of his house, a part of his home, a part of his life. He's been taught these things. He's been taught to do these things. And this is the life that Gideon is growing up in. And now, I believe God begins to work on him, and he's contemplating, does God have more for me? Is this it? And I think he's contemplating these things. As I told you before, you read the first part of the chapter, the children of Israel cry out to God. God sends a preacher to them, and then all of a sudden the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. I think since he heard that preacher, it brought back some things maybe that he'd heard, read out of the Bible, some things that he knew about God. And he said, wait a minute, we're not following God like we should. And God began to work in his heart at that point even, and he's contemplating these things. And now the Lord shows up face to face. He says, it's showdown time now, Gideon. What are you going to do? So this is maybe to prepare us for our encounter with God. God may be, you know, kind of prodding you in some areas. And God may be saying, you need to get this right. You need to get this fixed. He's just prodding and poking and trying to push you in the right direction. But most of us kind of don't like to do that. We don't like to do what God says. We want to do it our way. And we kind of just, I can push that conviction away. I can push it to the side. I can ignore it. But there's coming a day when we're going to stand face to face with God. And I'm not talking about judgment day or nothing like that. I'm not talking about when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking about when God here on this earth is going to meet with us. And it may be through preaching. It may be through your own Bible reading. It may be through your time of prayer. But God's going to come face to face with you. And it may be some nasty circumstances that you don't want to face. Maybe the death of a loved one. Okay, maybe the loss of a job, maybe the loss of your home. I mean, I don't know, some accident, maybe, you know, you lose your eyesight, cancer. I don't know what it could be. But there's going to come a time when God's going to say, we need to meet face to face. And this is where Gideon's at. I mean, they're being oppressed. 7 years they've been putting up with this. And now he comes face to face with God. And again, God wants us to be an effective servant for him. This wasn't to hurt Gideon, it was to help him. It was actually to use him. When you come face to face with God, what we should say is, okay, God, what do you want me to do? How are you wanting to use me? Because that's what it is. He wants to use us. We're to be a servant of the Lord. That's what it said of Moses after he died. Moses, the servant of the Lord. Man, I'm telling you, that's what I want on my epitaph. I hope it'd be true, though, if it's on there, that I was a servant of the Lord. I mean, I don't think there's a greater honor than that just to be a servant of the Lord. All the great things that Moses did, and at his death, God said, Moses, the servant of the Lord. Man, what an honor to have that said of you by God. I mean, that's what we should all be striving for, is to be a servant. So when we come face to face with God, when we have that encounter with him, it's going to be him asking, will you do this? Will you go that step farther? Will you do what I'm asking you to do? And really, we could even word it like this. Some people don't like this type of stuff because they say, God doesn't need anything. Well, God's chosen to need us. That's how he set it up. God needed Gideon. I mean, Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge, but I couldn't find one. There was none, he says. He was seeking for a man. He needed a man to stand in the gap, to be his mouthpiece. Why did he have to have that? No. But he chose to have it that way. So in his him making that choice, then he needed a man. And it's the same thing with this. He needed Gideon. He needed Gideon to lead his people. Now think about this. They've already rejected God. God was everything to them. But they have rejected him because they've gone into idolatry. They said, we don't want you. We don't need you. See, there you could see the free will of man, by the way. They have rejected him. And God was looking for a Gideon to draw his people back, to lead his people. God's goal is not for your Christian life to be a drudgery filled with disappointment after disappointment. The story is told of a little boy. He asked his dad this. He said, Dad, did Grandpa make you go to Sunday school when you were my age? You know, kids about, you know, 5, 6 years old. His father said, he sure did, son. We went every Sunday. The boy said sadly, well, I bet it won't do me any good either. It's not enough for us just to go to church. We have to apply the Bible to our everyday lives. Amen. You could be here week in and week out and hear the preaching and never apply it to your life, and you'll be just like the father of that boy. So, well, you've gone to Sunday school your whole life. Dad, it didn't do you any good. I guess it won't do me any good either. You have to receive the Word of God. And that's, I think, when the angel of the Lord shows up to Gideon. He's there threshing wheat. I think he's meditating on these things. He's meditating on what God's asking him to do. And he's already sensing that call, that desire. And the angel of the Lord shows up to encounter him and say, are you ready now? Are you going to stop making excuses? Are you ready to do what I'm asking you to do? And it's time to put some feet to our faith. To live out the Word of God, to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Amen. There's a lot of that in Christianity today, and I think we all fall into the trap of comparing ourselves with other Christians we know or other churches we know, and that's not the goal. The goal is Jesus Christ. Just because we as a church do more evangelistically than probably, you know, 90% of the churches here doesn't mean anything. Are we doing what God wants us to do? I'm just giving you my honest opinion. Most churches I know of don't do anything evangelistically. I'm seriously, nothing. Nothing. I don't care what name they have on the front. Most of them do absolutely nothing evangelistically. And that's like the whole reason Jesus came was to seek and to save the lost.
Amen.
But just because we do something doesn't mean that we're even doing what God wants us to. Now, we know it's His will for us to evangelize and share the gospel. We know that. But, I mean, He may want us to do it in a different way, in a different place. So we have to make sure we're doing what God is asking of us, what God is bringing and putting before us. We have to make sure we're in the will of God. Through your obedience to God's simple commands, He will respond by encouraging and building your faith. This is what He does for Gideon here. We read about it. Obedience to simple commands. Not like hard things, simple. And that's what I love about the Bible. It is very simple. I mean, God just says, here's what I want you to do. You know, walk with me. I mean, isn't that simple? Think about that. Just walk. How is my walk with God? That is so simple. You ever taken a walk with somebody? I mean, what do you do when you go on a walk with somebody? There's about three things you do on a walk with somebody. You talk, they listen. They talk, you listen, or you both walk in silence. That's a walk. That's what it means when God says, walk with me. So, like, man, that's simple. How are we doing in our walk with God? It's so simple, isn't it? But it's not always easy. Have you found that? It's not always easy to spend like quality time in prayer with God. It can be actually a little difficult sometimes. You know what's happening here with Gideon? It says that in verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an ophir that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So what is Gideon doing? You know, it's sometimes hard to have that time with God. And Gideon is hiding so he can thresh this wheat so they can have a meal. His family can have a meal to eat. But what is that, though, when the angel of the Lord shows up to him, when God shows up to him? You know what that is? That's some quiet time. That's alone time for him to have with God. And we need that. All of us. I know I need that. I'm like constantly talking about this. I feel like, and I don't even want this to be my idol, but I feel like sometimes it very easily could be an idol in my life. So I have to be careful with it. But I am like sick of living in the city. I've lived in the city my whole life. But I get sick of living in the city because it is like constantly, I don't know if any of you feel like this, I'm just giving you how I feel. But it's like constant, like anywhere you're going, we're like running somewhere. It's always, there's always something going on. It's never, like I've gone to visit, I've got preacher friends in other cities and stuff. I wouldn't even call them cities. Okay, they're like towns / villages, okay? And I've gone to visit them and like seriously, I've shown up at their houses before and they're like literally like sitting on a porch in a rocking chair. And I'm like, man, like that is like needed more. That is like so needed to just, yeah, just chill, but to just have nothing to do and not feel like I have to race. I'm like, some of them have come to visit here and it's like everything. We're like, oh, it's about 20 minutes. How far is it? About 20 minutes. Everywhere you go, it's about 20 minutes. I mean, you're going anywhere. It's about 20 minutes. Why? Even if it's just like literally down the street from your house. Why? Well, traffic. You know, well, you're going to go through 5 lights. If you hit them green, it's about 10. You know, but it's about 20 minutes. And we are so busy all the time. We have so much going on that we never just stop to have alone time with God. Because it's like once the day goes, it's like, boom, we're on. Let's go. I mean, there's no first gear. It's like, boom, jam it, man, pedal to the metal. Fourth gear at least. And we're going. It's like freeway everywhere. It just never slow down. And we never have time to give to God. We never have alone time. And we've got so many distractions. I mean, from cell phones to television to radio, so many distractions. I've realized one thing is my wife shared an article with me, and then she shared it on Facebook. And I'm not against Facebook, okay, but there's problems with it if you don't keep it in check. But my wife shared it on Facebook, and it was something like, it's okay for your children to be bored. And she's like reading these things to me. She's reading me part of the article. And I'm like thinking about that. And I'm like, man, this isn't just like children. This is like adults. Amen. Today cannot be bored. And I'm not thinking of like, normally, you know, you hear stuff like that and you're thinking of this person over here and this person over there and that person over there, you know, needs this. And I'm like thinking, I'm like, man, this is like completely describing me. Because I got to thinking about it and I go anywhere and I got like 2 minutes downtime and I'm like, you know, just like to look at nothing. I'm like, why? Why? Because through these things, at least in my life, I don't know about you, but for me personally, I know this as I was contemplating. She's like reading this to me, and I'm like thinking through these things in my own life. And I'm realizing that at least for me, I have trained myself with this to not be bored ever. And maybe even bored isn't even the right word, but not just to be able to just sit there and just think. Or not think, but just to be. You know, the Bible says, be still and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I am God. And most of us can't do that for like longer than 2 minutes. Next time you go somewhere where you're like in a waiting room, even you go to a restaurant and there's like a little bit of wait and you're there, even once you get your table, it's ridiculous. But just go look, like next time you're in a waiting room, just fight the urge to pull this out and just put it away and just look at everyone. And I'm serious, like 90% of the people are going to be on a phone. Immediately when they sit down, they're going to pull it out. Watch, even today, watch us, okay? When we, after the service, judge everybody, okay? I'm telling you, all right? Just judge everyone, all right? Judge each other, all right? But watch, we're going to do it. You may catch me doing it. Just this morning, I deleted Facebook from my phone. Now, I still have a Facebook account, but I took it off my phone because I'm like, this is like nonsense. It's just wasting my time. Because I'm weak and I don't want the temptation. That's why I did it. Because if it's there, I'm like, you know, I don't actually do that. But, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not like getting on Facebook every time. And I'm like, I don't do that. But just watch us. I guarantee there's going to be people pulling their phones out and looking. And I'm not talking about you look to check the time or something, whatever. But I mean, they're going to get on and just do something. I'm like, oh, I got to check my emails. I got to, you know, look at this. I mean, I've trained myself to just like look at these things that it's like, oh, they can't wait like 2 hours or whatever. They can't wait till I get home tonight. Is it that important? No, it's really not. I'm like, but I need to know what so-and-so ate for lunch. No, we really don't, but we've trained ourselves to not be able to be bored or just sit there and be quiet with so many things. So many things. So this week, my family, and they're finding out about this just now as you are, but this week we're going to be on an electronics fast. You guys are like, man, I'm glad my dad is not the preacher. They found out when you did. Why? Because we need it. Maybe it's because I need it, so they get thrown in on that. But that's, I know that's not the case. It's not that I need it. I know we need it. And I'd take it farther than that, and I'd say we need it. But I'm not your father, so I can't, you know, tell you how to have an electronics fast. My point is we've trained ourselves to never have alone time, quiet time. Just, you know, we kind of make fun of people, but they just go sit on a porch. Boy, that's some good time. Even if you're just sitting there not talking, just to have somewhere where you can just sit as a family in the afternoon. Summer afternoons are awesome. It's like it starts to cool off. You just sit outside in the shade and just sit there. Even if you're not talking, and conversation will pick up, it'll go down. But just having that just quiet time where you could just think, even if you're just there, and just looking at God's creation, looking at a cloud, and just saying, wow. And it's amazing when you begin to have those times, you do just start talking to God. But when everything else is going on, you don't have time to stop and think about that. I mean, when the kids are running around, they're crying, and you got to make dinner, and you got to, you know, do laundry, ladies, and all these other things, you don't have time for any of that. You know, man, you're at work all day and you've got all this other stuff going on. And then you get home and, you know, your wife wants like actual adult conversation. So she wants to talk to you or just whatever. She just wants to be with you. And then we don't ever have time to just sit down and be quiet. Even with each other, with God. And he just gets pushed out. And so God, you know what God did? God brought some circumstances into Gideon's life that was going to force him. See, we may not think of it like that, that he's there, you know, threshing wheat by the wine press so they don't see him. But what is he doing? He's there alone. God says, I'm going to force you to have some time alone where I can meet with you. Because Gideon, you haven't been doing it. You know, one thing I could think of is, man, I don't want to be stuck in a hospital bed. I don't want that. We had one preacher come through here and he said, He had started a church and he was pastoring. It was a little church. There was just like, really, the way he described it was there was just like a few old ladies that were there. And it was him and his family. And like he was doing everything he could to grow this church. And I forget what he got sick with, but he ended up being in a hospital for a month, like in a hospital bed. And he said all he could do during that month was pray. So God forced him to be alone with him. And at the end of that month, he said, I went back and he said, we had like 40 people going to church now. He said, and I didn't do anything except have some alone time with God. So part of looking at the results of Gideon's encounter with God is that he actually had one. He had some time with God. And we maybe need to declutter our lives so that we can have time with God. I'm telling you, this is one of the reasons why I changed our soul winning from every Saturday to every other Saturday. And we have a Saturday off. Because I want us to have time. If we want to hang out with each other, if we want to have time as a family alone, if just whatever, if we just want to have a day where we could sleep in and not have to be here at 10:30, just whatever. If we just want to stay in our pajamas all day, a day where we can do that, we don't have to get up and do something ministry-wise. Just to relax. Just to be together as a family. Because I'm telling you, I want to word this as carefully as I can, and I think you all will understand what I say, but nothing we do in this ministry is worth losing your family. Nothing. Amen. Nothing we do here is worth losing your family. So I want to make sure we keep everything in balance. Now let me flip that and say your family is also not worth giving everything to your family and not serving God. Amen. There needs to be a proper balance. They both need to be there. But here's, I mean, I could say I've seen it all, but typically in a church like ours that is evangelistic and we have things going on a regular basis, what I've seen is that it's just like go, 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 go. There's never a break, and I see people burn out and then they're completely gone. I mean, they're not just like, let me just take a break from this. They just get out of church altogether. That's what I've seen. And I do not want that here. So that's why I want us to slow down. But back to my original, how that whole thing started, is I feel like sometimes I want to just live out in the country, even if it's just, you know, somewhere, even in the valley. It could even still be here in the city, but I just want some space where I don't have like neighbors right on top of me that are like seeing everything that I do, knowing everything that I do. I just want to have a place where I used to live in Rio Rancho. We had an acre and a half, and it was in the city. I mean, it was right there at Southern and Unser. But we had that acre and a half, and I had a path that I had made where I would just go out and walk and pray. The weeds didn't grow there. They grew everywhere else. But in that spot, they didn't, because I'd always be out there walking. And that is one thing like I really hated when we moved to this house, is like I tried to go outside and pray, but I'm like, I can't even like pray comfortably, because I'm like, is this neighbor listening? Is this neighbor listening? Is this neighbor listening? There's no like. And when I pray, like I like to just talk out loud. So I said I have to kind of fight that it's not an idol, because I really don't want to be in the city. Now, God wants me here in this city, and I want to be able to minister to people in this city. But there's the East Mountains. There's Edgewood. There's Bernalillo. There's Corrales. There's Los Lunas. There's Bosque Farms. There's all these places. There's some nice places here in the South Valley and the North Valley. And I say that like I could afford them, but these places here are expensive. I'm telling you right there, I'm gonna have to go farther out. But my point being is just to have somewhere where I could just have a sanctuary, so to speak, where I can just go out and walk and just talk with God. And if we don't put that in our lives, and we need it in our lives. I need it in my life. I'm even planning a trip to. Just during the week, I just need to just go and be alone with God where no one is at. And, you know, my father-in-law has a house and some land about an hour from here. And I'm planning to just go there for a few days just so I can get alone with God and just study His Word and prepare some things for our church for the coming year. I need that. And I'm not just saying I need it. You all need it too. Like, we need to slow down from the busyness. We need to make time to get away from the busyness. So, like, I know we've got a lot going on, and we're planning, you know, to the next coming up in August, it's gonna be 5 weeks straight, even during the week, of us going out and evangelizing And Saturdays, it's going to be like all day we're going to be out and doing these things. And there's going to be times of busyness. But I don't want those to consume us and it to always be like these times of busyness. So if some things are going on, you know, come to me and be like, hey, Pastor, you know, we're not quitting soul winning, but my family, you know, we need just a couple weeks where we can just not. And that's good. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I don't want us to use that as the excuse to do nothing either. That's the other side of this. Everyone's like, well, my family needs it, and you end up doing nothing. We don't want to do that either. So we just need to make sure we have that proper balance. But seriously, if you do need, like, this is, like, we can't do all this, that's okay. Like, we're planning 5,000, it's okay if we don't get all 5,000 done. I'm all right with that. I don't want us to feel like we have to get everything done. We have to do all of this. No. Then it's like, yes, there'll be times of busyness, but I don't want it to be so much that, like, it's a drudgery to serve God. That is not enjoyable. Amen. That is not fun. And I've been there and done that, and I have to fight that. Just to be honest with you, I have to fight that myself. Because I'll push myself and stack up a lot of things, and then I'm like, why did I do this to myself? Like, just yesterday, I'm like an idiot, I feel like. Our neighbor asked us if I could help them install their cabinets. So I'm going to be doing that in like a few weeks, which I don't mind helping them. But I just make my life busier. I don't know. Maybe one of these days I'll learn how not to do that. I just say no, right? And I don't mind helping them. Found out we had some good neighbors. I feel like I'm rambling here on with some things. But we need some alone time with God. That's what Gideon had. He was forced into that. He was forced into that. But I'm going to kind of skip ahead with Gideon and say he had his alone time with God. But do you know what it produced? It produced a servant of God. He went and did what God asked and commanded him. See, it doesn't just stop with my alone time with God. There's a purpose to that. Our purpose in life is to glorify God. That's what our purpose in life is. And his alone time with God resulted in him being a servant of God. Giving himself in service to God. Why? So that God would be glorified through what Gideon did. That's the purpose of that alone time with God, that God had kind of put Gideon in those circumstances. But it was through his obedience to God's simple commands that God encouraged him and built his faith. And he really did. We see some things here. We're not going to get to them today. We'll jump on it next week. But God does not want you to quit or get discouraged. He wants you to be faithful for a lifetime. That's why it's okay to take, some people have called it, you may have heard this term before, a sabbatical. You know, that's just, you know, a lot of times it'll be at a job is what they call it for. Someone's working and they take a sabbatical. What does it mean? They may take like a month just away. And I know not everyone can afford to do that. But the principle is there, just we need rest. And you can see that principle throughout the Bible, by the way. Because you know what God mandated for his people? He mandated this for his people. And we don't follow this principle. And I believe it's still a valid principle today. And we're guilty of it. And when I say we're, I mean I as well. We are guilty of not doing this. But God mandated for his people one day of rest a week. And because he knows we're so hard-hearted and foolish, he had to put the death penalty on breaking that. Because guess what? How many of you remember when it was like on Sundays, almost nothing was open? Like I'm of the age where I can still remember where most things were closed on a Sunday. All right, now that's like our kids, you younger ones, it's like almost like, no, everything's open on Sunday. I mean, we even get upset. We're like, what? Chick-fil-A is closed on Sunday? This is redonkulous. I mean, you go to anywhere and it's like, it's closed. What are you talking about? You ever been to a small town? I've gone to a small town before and like you're traveling through and it's like Monday or Tuesday and you stop to get something to eat at a restaurant and they're like, you're like, what? Closed on Tuesdays. You're like, who closes on Tuesdays? What is this? Well, it's because they don't have no business and they close on Tuesdays. And everyone that lives there knows that place is closed on Tuesdays. Don't go there on Tuesdays. But our world used to understand that principle of one day of rest. God mandated it for his people. The principle is there. I don't believe he's mandated we have to keep the Sabbath like the Jews did. The Bible tells us specifically the Sabbath was given to the Jews. But the principle is something we should keep. I don't care if you do it on Tuesday or Monday or Thursday or Saturday, but we need a day of rest. And I'm not talking about I have a day off, so let me jam pack as much stuff in it and get it all done as I can. No, I mean an actual day where it's like, all right, we're not going to do anything. If anything, we're going to sit down as a family and we'll study the Bible for a little bit, and then we're just going to have some quiet time or just relax. Maybe we'll sit down as a family and watch one movie and not binge watch something for 8 hours. But just a day of rest. Even if that day of rest says, let's go drive over here, so-and-so over here, and just take a hike. Take a little walk as a family and just not have to do anything. Not race here and race there. Now, I mean, I've thought through this in my own life, and I'm like, where am I going to fit that in? If that's the thing, I'm going to have to go home and seriously, like, think through some of this stuff. And say, how can I apply this stuff to my life, these own principles I'm teaching to my life? Because I've thought through them before and I'm like, I'm too busy to do any of that. Then guess what? You've heard people say it before. Then you're too busy. Amen. Then you got to cut something. Something's got to go. Something's got to give. That's when it gets hard. You're like, well, what do I cut? I have to work. I know that I have to serve God. So what do I cut? When do I cut it? Because to me, Sunday is not a day of rest. I'm telling you right now. So I go home worn out on Sundays. Some of you might not understand this, except those of you that have done it. But preaching, like, wears you out. It is hard work. I don't even understand why, because I'm like, I'm just talking. But it does. You're, like, worn out after you're done. I can't explain it. Sunday is not a day of rest for me. But I need one somewhere. And typically what my family has done is we made Friday. That we called it Family Day. And it would kind of just be, we don't have to do anything. Now, sometimes we'd have something, but mostly it's like, no, we're not going to do anything. And then what ended up happening is because, well, we kind of had something to do. And so it's like, all right, well, we'll make it, you know, this evening. We'll do it, you know, like Thursday evening. And then it ended up being like partial days here and there instead of one full day of rest. And I'm telling you, we need that. Your body needs it. Your mind needs it. To just not constantly be thinking and running through everything. And I don't know, some of you aren't, like my wife, she's good in traffic and she just like goes through it and everyone cuts her off and she's just like, and I'm like, what is this guy doing? Like, he doesn't know how to drive. I mean, come on, what's wrong with this guy? Like, why would you turn and pull out in front of me when you see me going 55 miles an hour down Coors and you pull out and there's two open lanes and there's nobody behind me and yet you pull out going 15 miles an hour and you pick my lane? Like, why would you do that? And that's like seriously the process, the thought process I have. That's what I say. And my wife, she's just like, just hit the brakes or, you know, turn your blinker on and get over. And that's not me. So it's like not relaxing for me to go driving places because I get stressed out in traffic. It doesn't do many good to do that. And I know there's a few others like that. I've known some crazy people that run red lights and try and take you out on a turn. I mean, just crazy. I'm just picking on Miss Susanna there as we were racing for we had a teen activity. But that's not relaxing to me. And we can allow this world and the way it's set up to get us so distracted. See, we think the devil's going to show up with like a bottle of alcohol or something, and this is how he's going to destroy us. That doesn't have to be how he destroys us. He can just say, you know what, I'm just going to make you so busy with good things. You don't have to be busy with bad things, with evil things. He says, I'm just going to make you so busy with good things that you're going to end up neglecting your family, you're going to neglect your ministry, you're going to neglect your job, because you can get so busy at so many things that you're not really doing anything very effectively. And I've been guilty of that, that I just need to go home and evaluate some things. And I don't, the guy's a Mormon, but he's written some good things on time management. And I haven't even read all of them. I've just heard some of the principles taught. But Stephen Covey, and he says, you need to get your, like a jug, a jar or whatever, and you need to put your big rocks in first. And what he means by big rocks is the things that really matter in life, the things that are really important. Because he illustrates it like this. He gets a jug and he gets like a bunch of little marbles and he fills up the jug, you know, mostly to the top with marbles. And then he says, now here's these big rocks. And he has some bigger rocks that just kind of will barely clear the opening in this jar. And he says, now you stuff those rocks. And he says, these rocks represent things like your marriage, your children, your walk with God, your job. You know, you have to have some of those things. So it's the big things in life that are kind of, they have to be there, you know. And he says, now you've got all these little things that take up your time and all this and you know, just the things of life, you know, the things that we have to do, like we, you know, keep the house clean, you know, cook dinner. And I'm not saying that's a little thing, like we can live without eating, but you understand what I'm saying, just the things of life. Okay, we got to go run this errand over here and we got to do this. And we got all these little things. And oh, our family wants us to meet with them and go and do this thing or whatever it is. Doesn't matter. And I'm talking extended family, not your, when I say your family, I'm talking about your husband, wife, children. Okay, that's what I mean when I say that big rock of family. Okay, I'm not talking about extended family, like brothers, sisters, cousins, all that stuff, even your parents. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your husband, wife, children. Okay, so you fill it, the jar up with all these little marbles. Okay, and then it's like, now put your big rocks in. And you get a couple of them in, but after that, you can't fit the rest in because it's already filled up with all this other stuff. And then he says, okay, now, let's do something a little different. He says, let's dump this out. Empty that jar. And you've got the empty jar. And he says, now what I want you to do is I want you to take those big rocks and put them in first. And you put all those big rocks in first. The important things, the things that really matter. He says, now, he says, now put all the little ones in and fill it up to the top. And then you're able to. You didn't get them all back in, but you were able to get it up to the top, but you've got the main things in there. He says, you may have to shed some things so you can take care of the main things. You know, so you can have like quality time with your wife. Husbands and wives, I cannot stress this enough. You need to have, I know this isn't always possible, but I would highly stress this. This is like super important to where it's like almost like, yes, you absolutely have to do this. But I would say it's like almost mandatory. You have a husband and wife date alone, just you, husband and wife, no children, at least once a week. At least once a week. Now, I knew that for a long time, and there was periods in our life when we couldn't do that like we'd wanted to. But you know, everyone thinks a date, and it's like, well, I got to have money. We got to be able to go do this. No, you don't. Just go for a walk. Walk around your block with no children for 30 minutes. I'm serious. Just you two. Yeah, I mean, if there's like no money, because we've been there when there was like literally like no extra money, like, I don't know, save change and go to Sonic and share a drink. Go to McDonald's and order, you know, one of their apple pies off the dollar menu. A Coke. Unless you're trying not to drink Coke. You know what I mean? But just have that time, because that is key. That's crucial. Obviously, your walk with God, you have to make time for that. And if it's not one of those big things and it's these other things, these little things that keep taking and etching away from your time with that, then you've got to remove those other things. You have to get rid of them or limit them. But don't be afraid to cut things off. I'm serious. If a job is getting to where it's taking over everything, don't be afraid to quit that job and leave. Now, I'm not just saying just, oh, my job has got me so busy, I'm quitting right now. No, don't do that. Like plan it out. Like, find another job first. Don't just like quit and be like, I'm out of here. You're interfering with my big rocks. No, don't do that, okay? Like that's a big rock. It just needs to maybe be kind of shaped a little differently, okay? You still have to have that. But work towards it. Say, this is my goal. I need to change this rock. It's a little too big. I need to shrink it down a little bit. Have time with your children. Like actual, like time with them. Here, this is a great way to have time with your children. that we have gotten away from, our society, and probably most of us in here, I don't know your homes, but I'm just assuming that probably most of us, this has happened to us, is just sitting down at a dinner table and eating together. It used to be like it was an every night thing. And now we're like, man, A+ if we're doing it once a week. Get back to that. Shut everything off. And just sit together as a family at the table. And listen to each other. I mean, listen to your kids fight. Because they will. Listen to them fight and argue. And get mad at them. Say, stop that. And then laugh about it. I mean, make fun of each other. Do those things that families do and just be with each other. Just be there with each other. Even if it's, this isn't wrong either. Even if it's at a restaurant, you go out somewhere and you guys do that. I mean, restaurants like hate our family because we seriously will go there and sit there for like 2 hours. Like, I mean, and we're just talking, hanging out. Do that. But tip good if you're going to do that because you're taking up their table. But I'm just saying we've got to get our priorities right. And God has a way of forcing us to do that. You know, dads, you can be so busy at work and lifting up your job to be something so much that God's going to say, I'll make it so you can't do that job. I'll make it so you physically can't do that job because you won't cut away from that. You know how many men have had heart attacks because they're stressed out over all the stuff they've got going on at work? God says, I'll end it right now. I know preachers that's happened too. They've been so stressed out and so just go, 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 go. That they have a breakdown, what we would call a breakdown, or they'll have a heart attack or a stroke or something because they're so stressed out over everything that's going on. And then God just says, no, I'm just going to shut you down now. And you're going to have to spend time with me. Not that even they weren't spending time with him, but they were just so busy and it was just like kind of boom, 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 everywhere. But he says, I'm just going to slow it down so it's just me and you. And I can get you what you need to be, where you need to be. Man, this is like a slap in my face, just boom, like a wake-up call for me even right now. I need to, let's prioritize some things. And that may even mean restructuring the way we do some ministry things here and even, you know, somewhat backing off. But then I want to also let us know that then that means there's going to be times when we're ramping it up and it's like, let's go, pedal to the metal. But then we back off. But we've got to keep our focus on God, what it needs to be. We need to even be in a place where we can have an encounter with God. This is what I want. I want to be able to have an encounter with God where it's not him forcing it on me because the Midianites came and invaded and it's been 7 years of oppression. I don't want that. I don't want some disaster to happen. I don't want one of my children to get some disease or something where I'm like, you know, forced, so to speak, to spend time in prayer with God. I just want it to be that already. And if God forbid something like that happens, then I'm already connected with him. I don't want him to have to like injure me to slow me down so that I can spend time with him. I don't want that. And I have to throw this out because I don't want anyone to misread this. I'm not saying if you have some injury or something either, it's because you're not walking with God like you should either. I don't want anybody to think something like that. I mean, look, there's just sometimes God will put that stuff. We've been learning at Landmark. God puts that stuff in your life to just keep you humble sometimes. I mean, Paul had that thorn in the flesh and he said, God, will you take it from me? He said, no, you'll be full of pride if I take it. So you're just going to have to live with it. Amen. A lot of great men of God, if you study great men of God, as we call throughout history, had to suffer with like physical ailments on their own body, their own person. Why? Because God was using them in a great way and we're all prone to pride. But let's evaluate our lives and see what is really important, what's even taking precedence that shouldn't, even though it's a good thing. Even though it's a good thing. What's taking precedence, but it shouldn't? And here, let me throw this out as well. As we talk about Landmark and wanting Landmark to take off and grow, and I do. I mean, I want people there. It's been a year, and praise God, we have one person outside of our church going. And I'm thankful for that. I praise God for that. But here's what can happen, and I know this because I lived it with this. Is we can begin to feel, and I've even felt it with Landmark. I still struggle with these things. But I'm like, we got to do more to get people there. We got to do more. And then I'm like, wait a minute, God, it's His church.
Amen.
If He wants it, He'll do it. We're being faithful. We're witnessing. Amen. We're doing what God has asked us to do. I don't need that burden, that weight on me. And I'm telling you, I've been tempted to have it. It's come, and I have to like remind myself. I'm like, wait a minute. I got to tell myself, this isn't my fault. This isn't your fault. It's God's church. Let's let Him do it. The pressure doesn't need to be on me. All I need to do is be faithful.
Amen.
So I don't want you all feeling pressure like that either. Now, we need to feel pressure to be faithful servants to God.
Amen.
Because that's what He expects of us. But all He expects is faithfulness. And that's what we want to do. That's what we need to be. And sometimes our faithfulness to Him is hindered because we've got everything out of proportion. We got too many little things in the jar and we can't get the big rocks in. They don't fit. So we need to dump it out and put the main things in and say, okay, now what else fits? What else do I need in my life? And it's okay to get rid of stuff. When you're doing something like that, I don't say this to hurt anybody's feelings. When you're doing something like this, you may have to, you know, cut back time with somebody that you love. It doesn't mean you don't love them. You love, it may be a friend that you've known for, you know, I don't know, 10, 15 years. But you say, I'm spending too much time with you and not enough time with these rocks that I've got. And really all you need is like 4 or 5 of those main big rocks. And it's taking away from these things, these stewardships, if I can say it like that, that God has given me to take care of in my life. It's taking me away from these. So I can still spend time with you, but not like I did. You understand what I'm saying? Don't feel bad to cut things out. Even if you have to come to me and say, Pastor, I can't do this as much as I was. That's okay. It's okay. God's work doesn't stop because any of us get out of it. And I'm not saying I want anyone out, but I think you get what I'm saying. Because we have to maybe pull back, even if it's just for a season. Here's the danger in that, though, and I want to warn us, and I've already touched on this, but I want to warn us, is that the danger is when you step back, usually what I've seen is those people never get back in. Most times it's not that we need to step back from our service to God. It's other things hinder us actually serving God. So I think we probably all need to go home and dump our jars out and say what's really important. What are the things that really matter in life? Can I say the first boulder you need, the first big rock you need in your life is salvation through Jesus Christ? Because none of the rest of it matters. I mean, just take a sledgehammer and shatter your jar if you're not saved, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't have your sins forgiven. But you can. You can know they're forgiven through Jesus Christ. He loved you so much that He died in your place to give you eternal life. Will we let Him use us? Will we come to Him in repentance and faith, fully surrendered to God, saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? I'm yours. And then just follow Him. Obeying His simple commands. And I promise you, through that, He will encourage you. I've seen God encourage me so many times through just obeying simple things. And we didn't get into it, but we will look at Gideon and him obeying God in these simple matters. Just simple commands. He obeyed God, and God rewarded him and built his faith because of it. Sometimes we just muddy the waters, and we need to just step back and say, what simple obedience do you want from me, God?